So you're going to need a Bible this morning, and I'm going to read you verses 26 through 40, Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. This is an amazing account. Listen to what the scripture says. Acts 8, verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go forward towards the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near, overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and to sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is the water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And how good is that? Father, thank you for this amazing portion of scripture. And Lord, I know there's a message in here just for each one that you've brought today. And Lord, no one's here by coincidence. They're here by divine appointment because you want to speak to them and minister to them and do an incredible work in their lives. So God, let the things of the world just settle away. Focus our heart and mind on you. Holy Spirit, you come. Speak to each one, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, this is one of those wild Bible stories where you could be tempted to say, did that really happen? Did that really happen? Because you could easily think that this was something that Luke just kind of made up to drive home a point. And in fact, that's what some Bible scholars actually say about this portion of Scripture, or at least parts of it. They say that the principles that it teaches are true, and it might even be true that Philip led an Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord, but these wild details are nothing more than Luke's embellishment to make the story a little more interesting. But let me assure you, that not only is every detail in this account accurate and true, but what is described here is going to happen to you. I guarantee it. Because what is being spoken of here is God is setting up a divine appointment for Philip in response to a heart that is open to and seeking him. You see, that there's nothing that God loves more than bringing people together so that his purpose can be established and accomplished in their lives. It's called divine providence. Have you heard that word before? It's a good one. Divine providence. God starts starting a work way back here and then bringing all the pieces of the puzzle together so he gets the right people in the right place at the right time with the right heart so his purpose can be accomplished in their lives. But you want to talk about the miraculous? There is nothing more miraculous than the divine providence of God. That God would start something way back here and bring it to completion. You know, for some, that might happen right here today in church. Church today might be a divine appointment for you. And that's what this account is all about. Now, let me set the stage for you here. Because of all the persecution that was going on in Jerusalem, Philip took off for Samaria, which, if you think about it, was a really safe place for Jewish Christians to hang out. The religious Jews that were persecuting the Christians hated the Samaritans. They would never set foot in their country. So the believers that had fled there, they felt pretty safe. The problem with Samaria was that there were no Christians there, which meant no church, no fellowship. So instead of waiting for some pastor types to show up, Philip just started preaching the gospel. He started preaching Jesus, and people were getting saved, and miracles were happening. It was like revival broke out in Samaria. Now, when the word of this reached back to Jerusalem, the apostles immediately sat down Peter and John to check it out. And when they got there, they realized that these people who were getting saved had not yet been baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was in them. The Spirit was with them. But as of yet, the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen upon them with power. So the apostles laid hands on them, and the Spirit of God fell upon them. And then ministry really started to happen in Samaria. Well, it's right at this point that the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and told him to arise and to go towards the south along the road that goes from Jerusalem down to Gaza. Now, Luke adds this and lets us know that this would have taken Philip right into the middle of the desert. And you would think, Lord, why take Philip out of Samaria at this point in time? I mean, things were happening. People were getting saved. They were being baptized in the Spirit. Miracles were happening. Why not let Philip just stay there and continue on in the ministry? It seemed like he was a natural for this place. But you see, it's interesting how God works, isn't it? If the apostles had stayed in Samaria, then they would have done the work of the ministry. So they left the work with Philip and the saints that were there. And if Philip would have stayed in Samaria, they would have let him continue on doing the work of the ministry that he was doing, and especially the work of evangelism. See, that was Philip's gift. And they thought, no one can do evangelism in our city like Philip can. But with the apostles gone, and with Philip gone, the work of the ministry had to be picked up by who? The Samaritans. The Samaritan believers that were there. They had to organize the church. They had to teach and evangelize. They had to meet the needs of the people that were getting saved. And you know what? They did. They were absolutely successful in this endeavor to the point that you can go to Samaria today, and the Samaritan church is still there, and Samaritan Christians are still there. Now, that's more than you can say for the city of Ephesus that had John, Paul, and Timothy for their pastors. Now, Philip's work in Samaria was done. Now it was time for Philip to move on so that others would step up and lead. Now, the way that God moves Philip on is kind of unusual. Did you catch it? He speaks to Philip through an angel. Now, there are some believe that this angel is none other than Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think that's true. In the next chapter, Jesus speaks directly to Saul, to Ananias. So we know that if Jesus wanted to speak to Philip, he could have, but he didn't. Jesus decided to speak through an angel. And all the angel tells him to do is to get up and to go on about a 6-mile walk through the southern Judean hills to get to the road that leads down to Gaza. Now, Gaza was the southernmost seaport in Philistia. So this was a very well-traveled trade route, even though it did go through the middle of the desert. Now, this is phase one in God leading a believer to a divine appointment. A divine appointment begins with God getting our eyes off of what we are usually into on a daily basis so he can direct our gaze someplace else. You know, we get so locked into the daily grind, don't we? We know exactly what we do on Monday and on Tuesday and the other days of the week. And we are so conditioned to do the same old every day. And most of us could sleepwalk through our weeks. And in fact, many of us do. And because of that, we miss out on so much of what God wants to do in our lives. We miss out on so much of what God wants to bring into our lives. So what God has to do is to speak to us in such a way that he gets our attention and opens our eyes to the divine appointments that he wants us to focus in on. And God can be very creative in the way that he does this. He could even have the threat of a hurricane knock us out of our daily routine. He might bring in a cold or a flu bug into our lives to kind of slow us down a little bit. Other times, he might shake things up at work to get our attention. For others, it might be a relationship that breaks us out of our rut and gets our eyes open. You see, whatever it takes, God is willing to do it because his desire is to use you. His desire is that you become an instrument that he can use to accomplish his purpose in the lives of others. Well, once the angel of the Lord gets Philip into position, he then tells Philip what he wants him to do. And at first, it might have seemed a little strange because all Philip sees going down the road is a caravan. That would have looked totally out of place and intimidating to a Jewish boy from Jerusalem. You see, this caravan that Philip saw was from Ethiopia, which is from northern Africa, right down below Egypt. And not just any caravan, but the caravan of a man that was in charge of the queen's treasury. No doubt they're out buying treasures for the queen, conducting business on her behalf. So it's safe to say that this was a very large and a very well-guarded caravan. And right in the middle of it is the main man, the secretary of the treasury, riding in his chariot. And if you were Philip, what would you be thinking? What would you be feeling if you saw that caravan going down the road in front of you? He probably felt totally intimidated. He had to be thinking that there's no way these are the people I'm supposed to minister to. They're from the wrong country. They believe the wrong things. They're royalty. I'm just a normal guy. There's no way I can even get close to that caravan, more or less minister to them. And yet that was exactly who God had called Philip to minister to. So the Spirit prompts him to run up next to and join himself to the chariot. And see, this is phase two of a divine appointment. Responding to the voice of the Spirit as he leads you into a person's life that he wants to have you to have a divine appointment with. You know, one of the things I try to do when I step into any situation is to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, who is it here that you want me to minister to? Is there anyone here, Lord? Is there anyone here that you want me to speak into their lives? I ask the Lord for spiritual eyes to see the needs that might be around me. And it's amazing how the Spirit will prompt you if you just give him the chance to do it. There was one time I was going to do a men's retreat over on the island of Kauai. This is when I lived in Santa Barbara. And so my plane left out of LAX. I got there about 7:30 in the morning, and it was the usual LAX early morning rush madness. I mean, the check-in line was about a mile long, and people were late, and they were mad. And, of course, it was the check. See, some of you just went through that, didn't you? You were just there at LAX. You know what I'm talking about. And it was the check-in people that were just getting hammered. So I began to pray, Lord, give me a divine appointment with one of these check-in people. Let me be a blessing to one of them. As I got close to the front of the line, I noticed that one check-in lady was just getting grilled by a husband and a wife. I don't know what happened to their plane, but it was obviously not good. And man, they were really upset. They were going off on this gal. I mean, they were actually going crazy. It was quite a scene. And so I prayed, Lord, if you could put me with that gal, that it would really be great. That'd be good. So sure enough, I get the front of the line, I'm standing there, and out of about 15 check-in people, I get her. So I went, oh, this is good. I walk up, my little fried face, you know, just, here's my ticket, you know, how you doing? And she looks at me, she goes, sir, you are up a creek without a paddle. Your reservation has been canceled. I got my number. She goes, I know, I can see all that. But he goes, look, I'm just telling you this, the way things were around here, I may be able to get you quiet today, but I cannot get you back on Tuesday. I said, hey, you know, that's okay. You work on your computer, you do what you can, and I am going to stand here and pray. And she looked at me like, great, okay. First I get the couple from hell. Now I get a religious fruitcake. So I'm just praying. And she's, whoa, oh. And I'm praying, whoa, whoa. Then she says, honey, keep praying. This is working out better than you thought. And I'm like speaking in tongues. I'm doing the Holy Ghost dance right there. I was with this lady for about 30 minutes. And finally at the end, she laid her hand on my hand and she said, you were an angel sent from God to me today. You see, you never know what God wants to do. You never know who God wants to minister to. Usually it's the last person that you think that you should minister to. But the key, see, is having your ears open, listening. And as the Spirit of God prompts you to go, you go. Well, the next phase of the divine appointment is recognizing the work that God has done and is doing in a person's life. Look at verse 27 in your text. So he arose, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near, overtake the chariot. So Philip ran up to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, we're not told all that God had done to prepare the heart of this Ethiopian man, but we do know this. He had a desire to go to Jerusalem and worship, and he had an interest not just in the scriptures, but in the prophetic scriptures that related to the coming of the Messiah. And see, one of the things you can always count on in a divine appointment is that God has been doing the work in that person's heart to prepare them for your meeting. Now, this might not be obvious to them in some cases. In other cases, you know, they might be very aware that God has been preparing their hearts and has them set up. The ones I like the best are the ones where people know God has absolutely set this meeting up. Those people see the hand of God from beginning to end. But there are others that don't have a clue that God has set them up for this divine appointment. And so it becomes our job to figure out where they are and then to move them on from there. And this can often take time. It can take patience and prayer, but the results are worth it. Now, in the case of the Ethiopian eunuch, God had been doing a major work of preparation in his life. The first was that God put a desire in his heart, amongst all his other responsibilities, to go to the temple in Jerusalem and worship him, the one true God, which, of course, would have been very different from the spirituality of Ethiopia. Now, this is good, but think of what this man would have experienced when he got to the temple. Maybe after a couple of months of traveling First, he could have only gotten in as far as the court of the Gentiles. And that is if he had converted to Judaism and was a proselyte. If not, he couldn't have even entered into the temple grounds. But if he was a proselyte, he could have not gone into the temple, but gone to the outer court of the Gentiles. From there, he would have seen that the worship in the temple was nothing more than dead ritual and cold formalism. If his heart was to come and to worship the living God of Israel, it just wasn't there. Now, it's obvious that he did spend a good bit of time with the learned rabbis of the day because he picked up on the hottest new theological discussion that was sweeping through Jerusalem. And that was whether Jesus of Nazareth was the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 or not. Now, see, you have to think back to our study in Acts chapter 6. Where we were told that many of the priests from the temple were getting saved. Do you remember that? The reason that most of them were converting was because the apostles were preaching that Jesus was the fulfillment of all those tremendous messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, like Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 and Micah 5:2. And this was causing them to revisit these prophecies. And as they did, they saw, man, Jesus fulfilled these to the T. Now, of course, many of the rabbis did not believe, or at least they were not convinced at this point, so this debate was raging. And the defense that they would have given for not believing was that Isaiah and David were not talking about the Messiah, but they were talking about themselves, that the suffering servant of Isaiah, the suffering king of the Psalms, was not the Messiah. It reflected what both Isaiah and David had gone through, which, of course, is partly true, but we know that the real intent of those passages was to give us a glimpse into what would happen when the Messiah would come and suffer and die for the sins of the world. That's what this Ethiopian was wrestling with when Philip comes up to his chariot. And so Philip runs alongside. Can you just see him doing that? Can you just hustling up there? And here's what he says. He cries out, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Now, in the Greek, it's very interesting. He says, "Do you know what you're knowing again?" Literally. See, the Greek word for reading means to know again. Someone who had known had written it down. When you read it, you are knowing it again. Kind of a neat way to think about reading, isn't it? Well, anyway, the Ethiopian answers and says, "Hey, how can I know unless someone guides me?" It's like you saying, "Hey, if your learned rabbis can't figure this out, how can I figure it out unless someone who really knows the scripture comes along and guides me in this?" So he invites Philip to come up in the chariot and ride with him, and they read Isaiah 53, 7, and 8 again. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or another man?" And I love this statement. And Philip opened his mouth. And beginning at that scripture, he did what? He preached Jesus. Oh, man, isn't that good? Now, a couple things really important when it comes to taking advantage of divine appointments. The first is that Philip had the spiritual knowledge to answer the question that was burning in this man's heart. I mean, how often have you been in a situation where, a conversation comes up and, man, the Bible's got the answer here, the Bible. But then you don't know where it is. You don't know how to get to it. And so the opportunity just kind of slips away. Well, Philip had the goods to answer the question. Why? Because he'd rightly divided the word of truth. He had spent time studying the scripture. He had listened as the apostles taught. He learned from every debate he'd been involved in. And so when the question came up, and he was all over it. I believe there's no excuse today for us as Christians to be unprepared to answer the questions that people around us have. We have access to so much information. information. More than any other time in the history of our world, we have access to such great Bible teaching on K-Lite and on the satellite network and on the internet. We have access to the best Bible teachers in the world whenever we want them, wherever we want them. We should be prepared to give an answer to all who ask. And yet I wonder how you would have done with Isaiah 53. Could you have done what Philip did? Could you have jumped off from there and preached Jesus? See, I know many of you could. And many of you would have done a wonderful job with that. The second thing that Philip did here is to pick up on where this guy was at. And then he took him from there towards Christ. Now, I have to admit, this guy was in a pretty good place to go forward, right? I mean, most of us would die to find someone who wanted to learn more about Isaiah 53. That is the dream divine appointment. And some are not that easy, I must admit. But still, the concept has to be applied. Find out where a person is. Find that common ground. Get on that common ground and then take them forward from there. There was a guy in our church in Santa Barbara who worked with people who were got involved in drug and alcohol. And he wanted to minister to them. And he learned this lesson the hard way because he used to get down on them for being involved in groups like AA and CA. And he challenged them to get out of those into a more biblical program. And he could give them scriptures up one side and down the other. But all he was doing was just turning those people off. He made it an adversarial relationship. And what he finally figured out is he needed to take them from where they were, take what they learned in CA, take what they learned in AA, and then take them towards a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And when he did, I'm telling you, this guy's ministry just took off. See, Philip met this man where he was at, and he led him on from there. Now, the next thing that Philip did that made this divine appointment so powerful is that he focused the whole thing on Jesus. Do you see that? Starting with this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Notice, he didn't counsel him. He didn't refute the rabbis in Jerusalem. He didn't tell him that the religious beliefs in Ethiopia were out to lunch. No, he simply preached Jesus to him. That's what this man needed. That's what he got. You know, I don't know why we're so afraid to tell people about Jesus. Ultimately, he's the answer. Ultimately, this is where we want everyone to get. So why not just go there in the first place? Why beat around the bush? Why get sidetracked into all these other issues? Just bring them Jesus. That's what they need. Plus, that's what you know the most about, isn't it? So bring him to Jesus. Now, it's obvious that this Ethiopian eunuch, man, he got it. He heard about Jesus. He heard about the scriptures. And as soon as he sees water, he says, "Hey, wow, look at that. There's some water. What prohibits me from being baptized right here?" And so Philip said, notice in your Bibles, if you believe with what? All your heart. If you believe with all your heart, you can. And then the Ethiopian makes this great confession of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Folks, that's all that's needed. That's all that's required. It's so simple, and yet it's so powerful. It's God getting us to that place where we will just say to him, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, you might not know a lot else. You might not have the whole thing figured out. But has the Spirit of God showed you that? Have you been convinced of that? Do you know that? And if you have you ever just stopped and just said that one thing to God? That one thing. God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, if you've never done that, I can't think of a better time to do that than right here this morning. This is the time to do it. Right here, right now. You'll get a chance to do that this morning. So, with that, Philip takes him down in the water, and he was baptized. Now, we get to the hard part of this passage. It says that when they came up out of the water, Philip was caught up by the Spirit of the Lord, and the eunuch saw him no more. Now, does this mean that Philip was kind of beamed up out of there? beam me up, Scotty. Well, some would say, you know, this is just a figure of speech that Luke used. They would say the eunuch was so excited when he came up out of the water that all he could think about was his new relationship with God, and he couldn't see Philip anymore at all. Others would say, well, in the same way the Spirit moved Philip there, he now moves Philip to Azotus. It was the natural split of the two. It was just Spirit of God inspired. Two good explanations, but folks, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that the Spirit caught Philip away, and the next thing he knew, he was in Azotus. In Ezekiel 3:12, the prophet records that the Spirit of God lifted him up and took him to the captives at Tel Abib. The Apostle Paul tells us that he was caught up by the Spirit and transported into the spiritual realm. Listen, if the Spirit of God wants to lift someone up and take them somewhere else, whether it be in the physical realm or the spiritual realm, he can do it. And I believe he did it right here with Philip. And then he dropped him right in Azotus. Like, whoa, wow, okay, here we are. And it says, Philip continued to preach to the villages until he came to Caesarea, where he settled down and he lived out his life. And we won't run into Philip again until Acts chapter 21. Now think about this Ethiopian just for a minute here. It says that he went on his way rejoicing. Oh, you bet he did. This man had just come into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was now a Spirit-filled man, ready to take the gospel back to his people. And again, you have to kind of find it interesting that God didn't have Philip stay with him for at least a while, so he could get grounded in the Lord. But you see, when you have the master, you no longer need the servant. The work of the servant was done, but the work of the master was just getting started. So what a great example this is of the providence of God, of the divine appointments that God brings into our lives. Folks, are you ready for the divine appointments that God has for you? You know, they could be sitting next to you right here this morning. They could happen later on today. With what's going on in our world right now, folks, have you been watching the news? Are you watching? The world's going crazy. And people are saying, who's got the answers? You got the answers. You got it. I believe that people are more open now to spiritual things than they've ever been. And you think about, you know, Ebola, and you think about ISIS. Folks, Jesus talked about things in Matthew 24. The Bible's got the answers to all those things. The world's got questions. We got answers. There's going to be divine appointments all over the place for you. Are you ready? Are you watching for God to break you out of your daily grind? And when he does, are you listening to the prompting of the Spirit? When he goes, hey, go over there. Go to that person. Talk to that one. And when he does, you know, ask God to give you his eyes for the people he wants you to minister to. And don't be surprised if they're not the people you think you should be ministering to. Remember, God will use the simple to minister to the wise. And then grab a hold of the opportunities that God brings. Jump in there. Share the things of God with people. They want to hear it. Yes, it takes preparation. Yes, it takes you being prayed up. But get prepared. Get prayed up. And then don't forget to meet people where they are. Find that common ground with them. And then lead them on to there. And most importantly, lead them to Jesus. Take them to the source. Who knows? They might make that great confession. Man, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then they might say, gee, we're pretty close to Nephele Bay. What would stop me from getting baptized? Boy, that would make your day, wouldn't it? Oh, Father, thank you for this time in your word. What an amazing portion of Scripture. And Lord, I know some parts of it seem so wild, so far out. And yet the heart of this passage, Lord, we know it's so solid, especially the world that we live in right now. Lord, I believe that you've custom designed our world to get to this point where people have so many questions. They're so at a loss for what's going on. And Lord, your word is just, it's so clear. We couldn't have been better set up for what's happening. We've got the answers. But God, would you give us eyes to see? Would you actually let us see that maybe the events of life were for a greater reason than even what we thought they might have been for? The changing of a job, the changing of a relationship, an illness? Lord, to break us out of the rut, to get our eyes off the mundane that we might see the opportunities you placed around us? Oh, God, open our eyes. And then, Father God, let us hear the voice of the Spirit. When he says, hey, run, join up with them. That's the one, right there, go talk to them. And God, give us courage, don't let us be intimidated. And God, let us hear the need that's there. And then God, give us the boldness to lead them right to you, Jesus. That's what they need. It's what I needed. It's what they need. So Father, I just thank you for each person here. I thank you for what they represent of your kingdom. And Lord, I pray today that they would just sense a calling on their life. They would sense an empowering to say, I'm looking for those divine appointments. Lord, I'm ready. Here I am, Lord, send me. Lord, there may be others here today, and they hear the story of this eunuch, this wise man, powerful man. And yet he realized that there was something that was missing in his life, something that would bring it all together. He didn't have to have it all figured out. He didn't have to know it all. It just came down to that declaration of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, this morning, with every head bowed, our hearts before God, maybe you realize, you know, I do believe that. I do. I believe. I can't figure a lot of this out, but that part I know. I understand that, and I believe it. And I want to give you the chance right now, in the quietness of your own heart, to make that declaration to God. Just tell him that right now. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.